Hello, nerds. You're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Nerdcore podcast, the podcast reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 172. And it is your review of the week. The last review of the week. I'm sorry, it's not Alita Battle Angel. It's not the Lego Movie 2. And I definitely do not have Brad on here with me. That's not my bad, but he's doing some stuff. And he's not available right now. But I do have somebody in here to review a movie that I've been dying to talk about. Today, on this episode, we're reviewing You Were Never Really Here. It is a 2018 hit by Lynn Ramsey. But joining me on the co-host chair is a very, 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 very talented host we have on this network, brand, whatever the fuck you want to call it, feed. It is the host, the third host of the Ladies of Nerdcore show, the Ladies of Nerdcore podcast. The newest show on the feed, the last show on the feed, that is Alex Almeida. Say hello. Yep.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
Motherfuckers. Yeah, like the Terminator. You said you'd be back, and you're back.
Yep, back for these reviews.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was last notice, but I got you in here.
But it's all good.
It's a good thing, though, because you haven't finished this movie. So, you know,
it forced me to finish it because I was like, I had it on my list and I'm pretty sure I watched like 30 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. And then I just never got back to it. And then you hit me up and I was like, oh, yeah, let me go finish that right now. And so.
Awesome. Well, you know, how you been?
I've been good. Just working and stuff, getting over this little cold that I picked up at the end of last week. But other than that, everything's good.
You can blame it on Brad.
Yeah, it's all Brad's fault.
It's always Brad's fault. If you don't know Alex, she does a show on here. But also, if you were not to know, she's also the creator of that beautiful logo you're seeing on your screen. That is all her work, and she did an amazing job on that. How's the show going? How are you getting adjusted to being on a podcast?
It's good. I think we're getting in like a groove now. It's kind of flowing a little bit better. I know the only problem that frustrates me on my side is my mic. And I don't even think it's my mic. I think it's my connection.
What do you mean?
So, it'll cut out sometimes.
Oh.
But on Discord, it'll show up like green. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking everything's good because I'm looking at it, but I can't hear the girls when they're talking.
Right now, you're doing fine.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure because I get so frustrated with it, especially my internet, dude. Yeah. It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
So it just decides to crap out on when you're doing your show, and then when you're not doing your show, it's like, oh, I'm going to act nice
to you. Yeah. Well, it's been, like, crapping out the last, like, week because, like, where I'm at in the suburbs, like, our power lines are complete shit. So I think what it is when we've been having these back-to-back storms, it's, like, not used to it or something, and it's just screwing everything up right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It happens. I'm notorious for having shit internet back home. I do not live in the suburbs. I actually live out of the city limits. So we have terrible internet. And yeah, I mean, it happens. But what you gonna do? Just got to keep pushing with it. It's funny that you bring up the whole internet issue because that's literally what has been my issue for so long. Finally, somebody's in the same boat with me.
Yep.
Yeah. It happens. It really does happen. good last two episodes.
Great. Yeah, they've been good. I've been enjoying talking with Ashley and Daniela a lot.
Yeah. Have the nerves gone away?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so you're kind of getting used to the dynamic. You're finally kind of getting down with it. And you're like, okay, you know what? I don't have to be nervous as I was on the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to, like, cut anybody off or anything, so I have to make sure I'm, like, our flow is good. Yeah.
Nothing like that first episode of Daredevil Season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. I recognize when people are nervous, so I try to make, like, the most comfortable environment to make sure that you don't feel nervous. Because right. You never should feel nervous. Like, we're all the same. Like, you know, we're all a bunch of nerds talking about stuff. So, you shouldn't feel nervous. So
right. And you've done a good job of that, too. Because like I said, I think the only reason I feel nervous is because I've never done something quite like that. Where mm-hmm. I'm just, like, talking to nobody in front of me, really. It's like a whole phone call thing, but it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. The way I think about it in my head, it's weird.
Yeah, it's just it's a recorded Skype audio call.
If you think yeah, about basically.
It. Even though we're not using Skype, this is like it's a regular conversation that you and I would have if we were to be on Discord right now without it being recorded. It's just the fact that it's being recorded.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a little bit more organized because I don't obviously start my conversations with, hey guys, welcome back. You listen to the
Nerdcore. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, you're doing great things. And, you know, I just tell you all, like, you guys are going to do great. Got to be patient. And, yeah, just make sure you don't feel nervous throughout these shows. If you feel nervous, then don't worry. Calm yourself down. Remember that we're all the same on the shows. So, you know, there's no reason to be nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that'll be good.
But today we are here to talk about a movie because the Oscars are this weekend, and I wanted to bring this movie because this is a movie that I feel was heavily snubbed for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Writer. This movie deserves some Florida recognition. It did not get any recognition, not even the freaking score, which is amazing. But
yeah.
We're gonna go ahead and get into that, and we're gonna review the movie first, and then we're going to get into the discussion about, you know, why we feel that so bad that it was snubbed. And we feel like the Academy did not nominate a woman this year for Best Picture or for Best Director. Last year was the first year that it was actually done. And I thought they would continue to do that. And nope, they didn't do it this year. But look, we're going to talk about this movie. It's You Were Never Really Here, 2018 film. I'm going to read the introduction first, but first and foremost, if you have never watched this movie and you care about spoilers, then you shouldn't be listening past this point. Skip over. We're going to do the whole talk about the whole Oscar stuff after the review. So, you know, just skip around and listen. If you don't care, just listen through with us as we talk about it. But chances are that you care a little bit and don't want to get spoiled. So just skip around. But like I said, if you don't, just bear with us. But the spoiler warning is in effect. In a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to review You Were Never Really Here. So let me go ahead and introduce the film. So You Were Never Really Here by the Wikipedia page is a 2017 psychological thriller crime drama film written and directed by Lynn Ramsay. Based on the 2013 novella of the same name by Jonathan Arnz. It stars Joaquin Phoenix, Ekaterina Samsonov, Alex Manet, John Doman, and Judith Roberts. I butchered some of those names, but you know what? I don't know how to read every single name. An unfinished version of the film premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival in competition, where Ramsay won the Best Screenplay Award and Phoenix won the award for Best Actor. The film was released by Studio Canal in the UK on March 9th, 2018, and by Amazon Studios in the US, where it began a limited release in Los Angeles and New York on April 6th, 2018, and a wide release in April 20th. So, it's of course written and directed by Lynn Ramsay. It stars the music done by Johnny Greenwood, cinematography by Thomas Toend, edited by Joe Binney, production company, of course, Film 4, British Films Institute, Why Not Productions, and Page 114, distributed by Amazon Studios. The running time is an hour and 30 minutes. It's not a long film. And the budget, no budget right here, actually. There's no budget showing, but it did make $7.4 million. But if it doesn't show a budget, it's probably because it was not that much of an expensive film. Like,
yeah,
this was probably like, give or take, $2 million or $3 million.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. It's that's the introduction of the film. Basically, the whole synopsis of it is a war veteran has PTSD. He's coming back and he's trying to I don't know how to put it into words, but like break up a pedophile ring.
Yeah, it's like a sex slave type of thing going on.
Yeah, so like a sex slavery ring, and he's basically going out there and cracking motherfucker skulls.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's brutal. Alex, initial thoughts on the film?
Initial thoughts were it was giving me vibes of the movie Drive. Mm-hmm. Where it's kind of like zero dialogue almost.
Yeah.
It's just all shots and emotions of whatever the actors in the scene are. And I kind of love that. But, oh my God, Joaquin Phoenix, dude. He's so good.
Yeah.
I can't, like, just seeing him in that role, it makes me kind of excited for what he can do in future movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like the whole Joker thing, but yeah, I don't know. I love this movie. It's beautifully shot. They're insane. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, she did a good job with just telling the story with very minimal dialogue. Like, you understand what's going on without anybody having to come out and like say, okay, this is happening right now, and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
Well, he doesn't need to speak because you're reading it all in his face. And the man is heavily suicidal and he has PTSD coming back from war. Joaquin Phoenix, this is one of his best roles. Anybody who knows me and listened to the Best of 2018 episode we did knows that this movie was in my top five. The first time I watched this blew me away. I learned about this film and I watched the trailer and I couldn't watch it anywhere. And I could have literally stuck around to wait for it to drop on Prime since it's Amazon Studios. But I said, you know what? I have to buy this on Blu-ray. And I bought it.
Oh, nice.
And wow, I mean, truly magnificent. This movie is, I mean, of course, beautifully shot with a great music by Johnny Greenwood, but also magnificently written. I mean, Lynn Ramsey really took her time with this, and it's funny that you say that it reminds you of Drive. To me, it kind of reminds you of Taxi Driver, but like
that too. Mm-hmm. It did have like a
Scorsese type of
film. It had like the thing about it, and the way it was shot too. I feel like there are certain scenes where I was like, oh, this looks like it could be. Because when did Taxi Driver come out?
62?
Something like that, right? Like around the early 60s?
74, I think.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, it had like certain scenes, especially when he's in the car. And it would like shoot outside, like showing parts of the city like that he's driving past.
Mm-hmm.
It had this kind of like a grainy film to it. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that a lot.
It's actually 74. I mean, not 74, 76.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anybody who's never watched Taxi Driver, we did a review for it on 70s Film Month way, 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 way back. But you should go listen to it. But I would like to find out if she did shoot this movie on film stock. But
oh, right.
Dude, I mean, there is... I do want to go a little bit more in-depth with this because this film is really something to completely, you know, digest. It's a tough movie to watch. It is really a tough movie to watch. And not just what's being presented on the screen, what it's making you feel. Like, first time I watched it, I felt icky. Like, I was like, this is making me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you've had that same feeling. And that's what Lynn Ramsey does so well. For people who don't know Lynn's work, and I'm over here calling her by the first name, we don't even know each other like that. we don't even know each other at all. She's done another film that makes me feel the same way. We need to talk about Kevin in 2011. She's also made two other films. Ratcatcher and Morvern Caller. I don't know how to say that. I'm probably butchering that shit. But yeah, those are the four films she's worked on. And you can tell that even though they're four films, she really has her style right down to a T. And I mean, you know, Joaquin Phoenix has worked with such talented directors. I mean, he's worked with Paul Thomas Anderson on The Master. He's worked with Spike Jones on Her. But oh my God, did I love this pairing of Joaquin and Lin, because she really brought something out of him that I've only seen Paul Thomas Anderson bring out of him. And it's crazy when you're seeing him on screen like this.
Yeah, and I think it speaks, the two, they trust each other. So she trusts in him being able to do his best work emotionally on screen. And he's trusting her to capture that in the best way that she can. And I think those two, it showed, because shit.
Yeah.
Some of those scenes are just intense.
Yeah, the one I told you off air, the one when he's burying his mother in the water.
Yeah.
I cried. I don't know about you. I was tearing up, and everybody knows I'm a crybaby, but yeah, I was tearing up badly. I'm like, oh my God, this is pain. I mean, just when he gets home and he sees that she's dead,
mm-hmm.
I was torn. I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. This is terrible. And
yeah, especially when you're going back to the beginning and it shows how, you know, close he is with his mother and all that stuff. Yeah. And all the things that he does for her and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, his only thing that he was looking forward to coming back home from war.
Right, exactly.
And, I mean, just that scene, beautifully shot, beautifully crafted with the music, but right down to it, that's the beauty and the intelligence of Ramsay's direction. Because she is just so talented at presenting grief and death and melancholy at the same time in one frame. And you know, she does that throughout the whole film, and it's genius. It's genius.
Yeah, and then the way she sets up the flashbacks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even flashbacks, but him in his own mind seeing a different scenario.
Yeah, yeah, like when he's killing himself.
Yes, that part I was like, what?
Yeah, like, yeah. I really like the little girl too. How she was able, like, directing a child must be really hard, but directing a child to present, you know, feelings that she probably doesn't know about and subject matter that she doesn't know about has to be even harder. So for Lynn to grab that out of that girl, I mean, it's just completely genius.
Yeah, and then the girl too is so emotionless almost. Like, she's so cold and numb to everything that's going around her that, I mean, to try and be able to tell her, okay, you know, don't react to this.
Mm-hmm.
Just
You put yourself in her shoes, and you probably realize that she's gone through a lot of things. I mean,
yeah, she's probably seen so much shit
that you probably have to understand that the reason why she's so emotionless is because she's so numb to everything she's been through. So when you look at that, you realize that this girl's putting on an amazing performance to show that, because not many actors even older than her can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
This movie is so well made, so beautifully crafted. My only gripe is that I wanted more. I wanted more.
And then when you said it was an hour and 30, I was like, oh my God, that is pretty short.
Yeah. Like, I needed more. I needed them to show me what, I mean, I'm never one to ask for more than I'm given, because I mean, with Ramsay, she provides everything she needs to give you. But if we could have seen a little bit of the things that he saw during war, because you're made to imagine what she saw.
Right.
But never really shown.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, the ending is great. It leaves it open-ended for you. But I needed a little bit more to fill in that. I think like an extra 15 or 20 minutes would have really done this justice. a lot more justice in it than I'm giving it. But that doesn't deteriorate from anything from the score that I'm going to give it, because I think the film is near perfect. Near perfect. Yeah. Anything else you want to point out before we go into like the whole verdict and then we discuss about the Academy?
No, I think we covered it. It's just, the score.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Greenwood.
Oh, God. It intensifies each scene. Mm-hmm. And it kind of pulls you in when you start to hear the music come in and it starts to rev up a little and you're like, okay, something's about to go down.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like, I love when music scores go like that.
Johnny Greenwood's a really talented composer. Have you watched Phantom Thread?
No.
That's the last film from, latest one from Paul Thomas Anderson. He does the score on that one, Johnny Greenwood, and oh my God. It's a beautiful score. It's very haunting, but it's also like beautifully crafted.
That's the perfect description. I love that. Haunting.
Yeah.
The haunting.
Yeah, it's so haunting. I want to check what else he's done, because I know that he's done a lot of stuff, but I'm probably not. I probably don't remember everything. But yeah, Johnny Greenwood. He didn't used to go by Johnny Greenwood, if I'm correct. Oh my God! Wow, I didn't notice it, but he was in Radiohead. Yeah, did you know this?
No, what was it? Repeat it. I'm sorry.
Johnny Greenwood used to be in Radiohead.
Okay, well that just makes so much sense.
Yeah. Wow. That is something definitely weird. Now, I do want to see what else he scored. Oh, my God. Wow. He scored There Will Be Blood.
Oh, wow.
Phantom Thread. This movie. Hold up. Soundtracks. There we go. Soundtracks. He's done Body Song, There Will Be Blood, Norgerian Wood, We Need to Talk About Kevin, The Master, Inherit Vice, You Were Never Really Here, and Phantom Thread. I mean, he has a very recent career. It doesn't really span a long time, but from all the stuff, I mean, he's made a lot of really, really good movies. I mean, a lot of really good scores for these movies. I go 100% to Phantom Thread, which he was nominated for. And the We Need to Talk About Kevin soundtrack is so hot. I mean, I listen to, the only one from here that I listen to is Phantom Thread on the regulars. But the We Need to Talk About Kevin score, when I watched that movie, that was giving me chills just because of the music.
Oh, okay, I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, it's on Prime, so don't worry about it. This film. It's on Prime, guys, so if you do want to watch it and you're listening past this point, I probably already spoiled a lot for you, but if you want to watch it, go to Prime and you can watch it there, along with We Need to Talk About Kevin. The first film of hers, Ratcatcher, has a Criterion Collection of it, so if you guys want to grab that, but definitely, she's a really talented director. I want to do a whole month of female directors, I want to do a lot of them, but I would want to do a month for her, but because we already reviewing one of hers, it wouldn't fit the month. So we're probably going to do one full month where we like look at four separate directors that are women. And I will talk about this We Need to Talk About Kevin. So if you want to join us for that, that's going to be probably in the coming months. But this is a director you guys need to be on the lookout for. Even though she only has four films, she is very, very good at what she does.
Yeah.
So that
very stylistic.
Very stylistic, and the aesthetic as well. Like she was a cinematographer before this, so I feel like she does understand framing and shot composition.
So, right.
Yeah. For me, my final verdict is a 9.5 out of 10. I think it's near perfect. Everything about this film is just screams perfect, almost perfect. It's just that little complaint I have about it needing a couple of extra minutes to really detail some loose ends.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the same actually. 9.5 because I love the shots. For me, aesthetically, that's always been a thing for me, is just visually being like captivated by a movie, and she definitely did that, especially with minimal dialogue. She held my attention throughout the whole entire thing, and Joaquin obviously held my attention. He's so freaking amazing.
He's my favorite actor right now. Favorite modern actor, 100%. Sometimes it switches with Michael B. Jordan, but Joaquin Phoenix
is versatile.
He's versatile, and people don't realize how talented he is, and because a lot of people don't watch his movies,
right?
Because sadly he does make a lot of indie. He's in a lot of indie flicks, so you know a lot of people aren't gonna watch it. But I feel like once Joker comes out and people watch him in that, they're going to go out there and look at this guy's repertoire and realize that he's a really talented actor. But we talked about Joaquin on her review, and now on this one, he's just amazing. I do want to cover a little bit more of his movies. You know, he has Walked the Line, that Johnny Cash biopic. And then there's the... obviously, what a lot of people know him from is Inherent Vice. He's really good in that one. What else is he? There's this one that I really like from him that I'm blanking on. That wasn't recent, but...
Let me see.
I can't remember. I'm really terrible at remembering a lot of things. But
I'm trying to look up his movies. Gladiator.
Gladiator is really good too, but I'm
Signs.
No.
The
no,
Village.
No.
We Own the Night.
No, I mean
I'm still here.
My favorite movie from him is The Master.
Okay.
But there's another one that I can't remember. But I am waiting for the part where he kind of does direct and write a movie, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Also, shout out, the man's Puerto Rico. He's from Puerto Rico. So, that's amazing.
Is he?
Yeah, Puerto Rican. Well, he's not from there, but his mom is Puerto Rican.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
So, he's half Puerto Rican. He's half Boricua. So, yeah. Where is the damn? There we go. Film. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm like scrolling through trying to think of like he just has so many. You said it's somewhat recent.
Yeah, somewhat recent.
The Immigrant.
No. It's
What the hell? He was in a movie with what's her name? Emma Stone.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies. He's been in a lot of movies.
It's a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, fuck Woody Allen. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. It's one of his best too. That's one of them, the recent one that I was going to talk about. But there was, yes. How could I forget this? It's not even recent. It's kind of like oldish, if you really want to put it into perspective. Hotel Rwanda. He was in Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Hotel Rwanda?
I have not. Don Cheadle?
Yeah. It's about apartheid, but... It is a crazy good movie. Really, really good. You should watch it. But he's so talented. And I can't wait to see him in Joker. If you guys do want to go catch one of his recent works, not only is you're gonna really hear on Prime, but also don't worry, he won't get far on foot. Which I've heard he's really good in. I have not watched him in it yet, but that was the most recent one that I remember seeing him in. They're supposed to be... Did I say Inherent Vice? I did say Inherent Vice, right?
I think you did, yeah.
There's one where he plays some kind of, like, comedian. And he actually, you know, like spazzed out on, I think it's
what's it called? I'm Still Here, right?
I think it is I'm Still Here, where he spazzed out on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, because I think it's supposed to, like, I think I saw it, but I was confused by it because I didn't know if it was like a documentary thing.
Yes.
And it was just him losing his shit.
It's I'm Still Here. Yes. He's really, really good in this one. But uh-huh. There is, yeah, that part where he even had to go back and apologize to Stephen Colbert after a while. And he's like, yeah, I was in character. I'm sorry, man. I wasn't mad at you or anything. You didn't do anything that really make me mad. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's how good he is.
Yeah.
He convinced everyone that he was actually like off.
Yeah. Only thing that sucks about this is that Casey Affleck directed this.
Yeah, I saw that.
But this film is so meta. I'm Still Here. It's really meta.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah. Now we go into this conversation that I want to have before we leave. Was Rimlansy, should she have gotten either one of the three or all three of these nominations? I look at not best screenplay, because she wrote this movie herself, but it wouldn't be a best original, it would be best adapted, since it's an adapted movie. And then best director and best picture. Mind you, Alex,
There
are 10 slots. The Academy has 10 slots to use for best picture.
Right.
They only used 8 this year, so there is 2 slots open.
They couldn't fill those.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. The Academy really pissed me off this year for tons of reasons, but I mean, oh my god.
To me, 100%.
Yeah.
And I believe this with all my heart. That best picture, one of those 2 best picture nominations could have gone to You Were Never Really Here. And I don't want to hear shit that it was a 2017 movie, because it was not. That wasn't the complete film. The real complete film was released in 2018. So it was eligible for Oscar contention.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other...
It met the requirements.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, the other one could have gone to, in my heart, Blindspotting from Carlos Lopez Estrada. But... it also could have gone Hereditary, if you ask me. But
oh yeah, and that one had a lot of like a lot of people that I talked to who saw that movie loved it.
Yeah, I mean, Toni Collette was snubbed as well for her performance in that movie. But yeah to me, Lynn Ramsey should have been nominated for best. This movie should have been nominated for best picture. She should have been nominated for best director, and she damn sure should have been nominated for best adapted screenplay.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. It's just such a good... It's like I said, I loved everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why she shouldn't have got the nod.
I don't know why they give them 10 slots if they're not going to use all 10 slots.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 fingers on my hands. On both my hands, there's 10 complete fingers. I can give you 10 movies that deserve those nominations, those slots. And it's crazy that they only use 8. And
I feel like they got super lazy this year.
They were lazy last year too, if we're being honest. Oh,
yeah.
There was I'm still
it keeps dwindling.
I'm still salty. Last year, Logan should have been nominated for Best Picture, and it wasn't. And I was asking for a little bit too much from that. But I mean, we're lucky that, you know, Black Panther, Roma, Black Klansman were nominated this year. But a lot of people were asking as well for if Beale Street could talk. Why didn't that one get nominated? Same thing. I would have wanted that too. But, man, the Academy are on some fuck shit as of late. But look, I'm telling you, this movie deserves it. It's absolutely ridiculous that last year we had one of the most diverse director category. We had Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird. We had Jordan Peele for Get Out. And we had Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water. And then we had Paul Thomas Anderson and Christopher Nolan. But yeah, that was one of the most diverse categories last year. And then this year, we don't do it.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like they said, okay, we gave you guys what you want. Now we're going to go back to what we've been doing.
It's ridiculous. It is really ridiculous. You know, How many, so many talented women directors deserved it this year. And hell, Ryan Coogler deserved it for Black Panther. I feel like the only reason that they nominated Black Panther was like, okay, cool, we'll give you guys what you wanted, but like, we're not going to actually nominate anybody else in that whole production.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know. They're thinking backwards again, I think.
Yeah. I actually want to check. I'm going to check real quick. Nominations, because I forget them all the time.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I want to look at it. I want to look at the screenplay and the director nominations, because those are the ones that, at least to me, the ones that I pay attention to the most. Best picture, best director, and best adapted screenplay, along with best cinematography. I could give less than two shits about the adapters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really can't. You see, when you even pull them up in the first one, they're the first ones there, the actors. Directing.
Yeah, you have to scroll down.
Yeah, we have, for directing, we have a Black Klansman, Spike Lee for Black Klansman, Paweł Pawłowski for Cold War, Yorgo Lanthimos for The Favorite, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, and Vice, Adam McKay for Vice. We easily could have switched out Lynn Ramsey for Adam McKay, or...
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't watched Cold War yet. And if
that's on Prime, right?
It's gonna drop on the 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But how many people actually watch this movie?
Yeah.
So I can't really make a clear distinction, but I cannot expect Adam McKay to make the movie that Lynn Ramsey made. So I would have honestly switched out Adam McKay for Lynn Ramsey.
Yeah.
And then in the adapted screenplay, I'm going to look at actually the music, because Johnny Greenwood 100% should have been nominated for this too. Mark Schaffman for Mary Poppins Returns.
That's a Disney movie.
Alexander Desplat is a great composer as well. Nicholas Vitelli. Terrence Blanchell for Black Klansman, and then we have Ludwig Göransson for Black Panther. He did a really good score for that movie.
Yeah.
Where are you, screenplay? Where are you? I better not have passed it. Oh, they're writing adapted screenplay. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, written by Joel and Ethan Coen. Black Klansman. Can You Ever Forgive Me? If Beale Street Could Talk and A Star Is Born. I would have definitely switched out A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
This is the fourth.
It's been made four times.
It's the fourth fucking remake, and you're telling me it needs a fucking nomination the fourth time?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Really, guys?
I get it. People love a love story or a tragic love story, but it's like, come on. It's been made four times. You can go watch the other three.
Yeah, even then, like, I mean, I really like A Star Is Born, but I wouldn't have given it a nomination for screenplay. I think it getting a nomination for Best Picture was enough. Bradley Cooper, look, man, I look at that and I'm like, definitely a lot of these could have been replaceable. So it's absolutely ridiculous that the Academy did not nominate Lynn Ramsey. And honestly, I hope that her and Amazon Studios keep having a working relationship. Because a lot of people were talking about this movie because it was on Prime. So it definitely gets her the leg up on all this.
Yeah. And Amazon Prime, I feel like they're getting it. Like they're understanding. Because they just signed, they greenlighted Reed Morano. I don't know if you've heard of her. She directed the first three episodes of A Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. And she is also...
Yes. She's really good stylistically, and she started off as a cinematographer.
Yeah, she did do the cinematography for Handmaid's Tale as well.
Yeah. And sure, her directorial debut was a movie called Meadowland.
I have not watched that.
It's really good. And you know what? Just like Lynn, she does really well with capturing like emotion. And that movie was actually pretty dark too. It deals with grief.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, dude, and they just greenlighted her to start her own show, based off of some novel, The Power, something mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, I think they're starting to get it, and they're like, okay, you know what? We're gonna get these badass directors and just let them do what they want to do.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, they did do the Suspiria remake. They got Luca Guadagnino. I mean, right after he had an amazing year with Call Me by Your Name,
yeah,
he got that work from Prime to from Amazon to do the Suspiria remake, and I'm mm-hmm. still waiting for that to drop on Prime. I don't know yet. When I find out, guys, I will let you guys know. But part of me is like saying, Raul, stop waiting for it. Just go buy it on Blu-ray, like I did with this one. But I'm a big fan of the original Suspiria, so I don't know. But I mean. Prime, I mean, right now, Amazon and Netflix seem to be the ones who are really going at it. I mean, this year, both companies have their what's it called? I mean, they both have a nomination from the Academy, it's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, I think so too, especially since the previous years, mm-hmm. everybody was always like, they don't want to give any to the Netflix original films or anything like that.
Well, people were saying that they don't deserve them, that's
ridiculous.
That's so stupid. We've talked about this a countless amount of times. I talked it with Wesley on the Oscar nominations episode, which is a really long episode. But I basically summarized what Cuarón said, and he said that streaming services aren't damaging cinema. The incompetence of the distributors to have a fight where they will not give movies like these a chance are what's hurting cinema. So a movie is a movie, whether it's on Amazon Prime or it's at your local theater that basically only gets 3 people in a whole month. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's still a movie.
Right.
And
these stories need to be told just as much as a big mm-hmm. blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah. And he also did say that the product is very gentrified right now to a certain product. And it's true. It's very gentrified. So I'm proud that Amazon and Amazon and Netflix really put it out this year. And hopefully next year, Hulu steps into the game.
Oh, yeah. And I think, I don't know. I was hearing things. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
What do you want? Well, no, bring it up.
With The Punisher being canceled.
Oh, yeah, we've already talked about this 1,000 times. But look, I don't want that show on Hulu.
I know.
Unless they're bringing back the original cast, the original writers, the original directing team, then yes. If you're not bringing anything else with it and you're just going to reboot and recast, I don't want it. I don't want it at all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, just kill it.
Just kill it.
Just leave it. Let it fade away.
Yeah. Well, look, guys, that was a conversation that we had to have this week. I'm sorry that it's not any of the big movies, but we're getting close to Captain Marvel. We're going to be doing a whole lot of coverage on that. We're going to be doing predictions next week. We're going to get ready for the review of that. I know that Alex had a conversation about Captain Marvel. I'm going to watch it because I want to see what this ties into Endgame, and it's also on my birthday. Yeah. What other better way to celebrate my birthday than going to watch a movie?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. March 8th, International Women's Day, is also my birthday. So
nice.
Yeah. You see? I'm telling you.
I'm definitely going to watch it, too.
Yeah. You know, I have my thoughts about Brie Larson. You know, I promise y'all, it's not the same thoughts that these alt-right, stupid, fat nerds have their thoughts. I do not care about her stance on anything like that stuff. I actually kind of like it a lot more. But my problem with Brie Larson comes to the way that she kind of presents the character she acts like that she does on these movies.
Yeah.
Like, I really like Room, but other than that, nothing of hers has really captured me. So I'm hoping that Captain Marvel changes my mind.
Right.
But I don't know. It's Brie Larson is she really hasn't done it for me yet.
Have you seen Short Term 12?
No, what's that one?
Okay, that she's in that one. That's probably I actually like that one better than Room.
Yeah.
That one she plays. Let me see. I think that one's on Netflix too. It's a good indie movie. It was 2013.
I'll watch it. I want to watch that then.
Yeah, she, what the hell? Oh, okay. Yeah, she plays a counselor at a at-risk teen center.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, it just tells, like, her story in it. Because I don't want to give anything away, but.
Yeah. I don't like her in Scott Pilgrim. I don't like her in 21 Jump Street. I couldn't care less about seeing her in Spectacular Now and Trainwreck. Those aren't really movies that I like. The only one that really got me was Room. I will see her in Short Term 12, though. Can you check for me if it's actually on Netflix?
Yeah, I'll check right now.
Yeah. I never watched United States of Tara, but I really couldn't care shit about that show. Yeah, I mean, it was probably not aimed towards me, but I'm going to be honest, I never really cared about that show. But look, she has the chance to really win me over with this role, and I feel like she is going to. But you know what? I'm just getting ready for Goose to win me over. That damn cat looks so cool. But look, thank you, Alex, for being on here. You want to plug everything that you need to plug before I head into the housekeeping?
Just at Alex Elm Design on Instagram and Twitter. Right. And I'll be posting more on Instagram. I know I've been kind of vacant, so I just getting all my stuff set up.
Nah, don't worry about it. Still a lot more than Danny posts. I'm just kidding, Danny. I'm just kidding. I teased her yesterday with that. And I was like, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so Danny, don't kill me. Yeah, if you're hearing this, if you're hearing past this point, I'm just kidding, okay? All right, I'm going to get in trouble later. Yeah, so that's where you can find her. Now let's go into the nice housekeeping plug section of the episode before we leave. All right, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you leave a rate and review on your podcast app of choice. It would mean so much to us to 5-star the feed, especially on iTunes. Go ahead and do it. Leave your social media handles, and I will read them out loud for the world to hear. You get free promotion, and we get a 5-star review. So it works in both of our favors. Go ahead and follow us at @TheNerdCore_ on Twitter, Instagram @TheNerdCore, Facebook page, The Nerdcore Pods. As well, you can find us on the My Roadcast competition. So, what is My Roadcast? My Roadcast is a podcast competition that is literally so easy to do. All you do is upload a 1 to 2 minute podcast episode, and you put it up there for the world to hear. People can vote for you by signing into either Facebook or Gmail. But this year, we are involved in it. We want to win some of those prizes, so please go vote for us at the My Roadcast competition at road.com/myroadcast. That is road.com/myroadcast. All you need to do is go to the search bar when you go to that page and type in the Nerdcore and vote for us. This is not an ad, even though it kind of sounds like one. This is not an ad at all. We are not being sponsored by Road. We are not being paid by Road to be in this competition. I just want to win. I know that sounds kind of corny too for me to say, but I just want to win because that Rode Procaster is an amazing mixer and I want it. And I already made a deal that if we were to win, I'd give this mixer to Ashley. So, you know, hopefully we do win, but fingers crossed here. We're one of the first 500. So we get a mobile interview kit, which I'm desperately need for my documentary that I'm doing this summer. So I kind of already won in my heart. So yeah, go ahead and do that. You can also find me, the Nerdy Chicano, on Twitter and Instagram under the Nerdy Chicano. That is the Nerdy Chicano. Yeah, don't add me on Facebook. I am not going to accept you unless I've had a conversation with you before. So if Alex were to add me on Facebook and find me, which I have been finding you on my people you may know, it's really weird. It's probably because of my photography Instagram is actually linked to my Facebook, and you have me on there, so I probably find you there like that. But yeah,
because I'm never on Facebook.
I'm on it because my family, I want to talk to them and shit. So yeah, but I've had people try to add me on Facebook from that I have no mutual friends, so it has to be from this. Guys, if I've never talked to you before, do not add me on Facebook. I am not going to accept your request. I'm either going to ignore it or delete it. I'm so sorry, but I literally do not add people I've never had a past conversation with. So please, do not add me on Facebook. I want to thank all our Patreon supporters. Alex was a Patreon supporter for at least a couple of hours. So that was cool.
What the hell, dude?
Did you check? Well, I'll talk to you about that off air.
Yeah.
So thank you to all our Patreon supporters. We love you all so much. But most importantly, our executive producer, Grayson Barker. Grayson Barker is a $15 Patreon supporter. At the $15 level, you get a shout out and get called a executive producer alongside pins and stickers as they're made and a postcard from us every month And, you know, the shout out is coming in right here. You can follow Grayson Barker at Instagram on Instagram at GraysonBarker98 and then on Twitter at WarlordHitman98. It's really hard to call you Grayson, bro. I know you by Warlord, and that's what I'm always going to know you by because that's your Twitch name. So I'm sorry. It feels weird when I have to say Grayson Barker, but thank you for being an executive producer of the podcast. It means so much. Minipod might be late this week because I actually do need Brad for that. Like, I really do need him for that. So we're going to have to wait a little bit. But Patreon for super supporters, I love you all so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being great people. And anybody who's listening to this, we love you even more. If you want to contribute to the Patreon, all you need to do is go to www.patreon.com/thenerdcore. That is the nerd, C-O-R-P-S. On Patreon, go ahead and look at all our tiers. We have a lot of tiers. They're all wonderful tiers. There's the $1, $2, $5, $10, $15, $25. Look, you guys should probably do the $1 because I do not want to dye my hair green and cosplay the Joker. My parents will kill me if I color my hair, but I feel like it's going to be more justified when I tell them I'm making $75 a month. But
yeah.
It doesn't really go to me. It goes to make sure that the team gets the equipment they need. So
it's for the people.
It's for the people. It's for the team. But yeah, yeah. Please don't get me to $75. Please don't. But you know what? I want to just let you guys go already. I love you all so much. I want to thank our guest. Well, not our guest, our co-host today. She was a co-host. Let's be honest. No way that she was a guest. Alex, thank you for being on here. Can't wait for the next time you're on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. From Alex and Raul, we're saying goodbye. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
Keep it nerdy.
I love that. I like that. Right.
Keep it nerdy always.
Remember, talk the nerd shit. Keep it nerdy. Hell yeah. Over and out. We'll see you guys. See you guys. All right. I need to end it.